This conference will now be recorded.
Hello and welcome to the Graduate Recruiters Network, or GRN, webinar. Today we're going to be talking about COVID-19 and the future of graduate recruitment. So just a few housekeeping rules before we set off, which I'm sure you're all familiar with now. If everyone can just make sure their audio and video is turned off. And secondly, there will be the opportunity to ask any questions using the chat box. So feel free to put your questions in there and I will answer those at the end. And finally, this is being recorded. So we'll be uploading the recording to the GRN YouTube channel, hopefully later on today. So first of all, an introduction, because we have a few new members for today's webinar. We actually have 120 bookings for this, so a real mixture of some old members, hello, and some new members who joined us in the last few months. So I always give a brief introduction about me and GRN, so here goes. My name's Dan Hawes. I'm the co-founder of GRB, Graduate Recruitment Bureau. We are the go-to platform for high-caliber university students, graduates, and recruiters. We're established back in 1997. Two Brighton Business alumni, myself and Chris. We slowly built the company up in that time. We currently have 40 staff based in our Brighton office, and we have over 1,800 clients. These are across all sectors, so very diverse. Companies you will have heard of, some big name recruiters like Post Office, IBM, Unilever and Ocado, to name but a few, but also many fast growing SMEs, the kind of companies that go under the radar for a lot of graduates. So very broad client base, all looking for high caliber graduates. So in that time, our recruitment experts have successfully matched over 8,000 graduates with full time graduate level jobs. Now, an introduction to GRN. So this was set up by GRB back in January 2009, originally for our clients, but we extended that to other friends within our network and in the world of graduate recruitment. The aim is ideally to bring our clients, who tend to be HR advisors, HR business partners, HRDs, talent leads, all together to discuss topics with a mix of relevant and influential speakers. So we've had a huge range of different speakers in that time. But the whole emphasis is so members can share best practice in a confidential environment, enhance your learning, and ultimately help you become a better graduate recruiter. So at the moment, we have 2,865 members. That's an increase of 360 in the last 3 months. I've had a lot more interest, obviously, people working remotely, maybe feeling a little bit isolated or needing help in these rapidly changing times. So this network has really been very beneficial for a lot of recruiters who've been able to chat and discuss challenges and solutions through this year. Now, our membership kind of reflects our client base, as I said. Lots of FTSE 100 firms represented, recruiting thousands of graduates amongst them, but also many fast-growing SME recruiters who may be hiring for direct entry roles, maybe on a just-in-time basis or a project basis, or in some cases for the very first time. So it's really interesting to hear all aspects and opinions from recruiters at different stages in their process. So our members get invites to several masterclass events like this through the year. We used to have them at the Institute of Chartered Accountants in London, but since lockdown, we reverted to our webinars and we've actually been running them every month now, so far more frequently. We've actually reached more members with this platform. So we will continue that for the foreseeable future. But not only that, members get together on the LinkedIn forum. We also have a blog, which I update fairly regularly. We run surveys to research our members, which we update on our website. We have podcasts, and we also have a quarterly newsletter. So you'll find much more information on the Graduate Recruiters Network .co.uk website. And that explains a little bit about the background of GRN. So our speaker today, this is Dr. William E. Donald. We've known Dr. Donald for a while now, and recently he's been working very closely with other researchers, specifically on graduate recruitment. So it's only a question of time before we invited him to do a talk with our webinar. So he's going to be talking about COVID-19 and the effect and the future effect of this on graduate recruitment as it emerges. We're not over it yet, so there's no conclusive discussion points, but it's certainly interesting just to see the research that they've pulled in as we have been progressing since lockdown. Now, for health reasons, he's not here in person, so he has actually recorded his presentation with slides for us, which I will now revert to. So as I said before, there is a chat box. Please use that to ask any questions. And the recording will be available at the end if you need to dart off or take a call, that kind of thing. So I will be updating the YouTube channel a bit later on. So let me put the slideshow on for Dr. William Donald. Hopefully the sound levels will work. Here we go.
Hello, and a very warm welcome to the Graduate Recruiters Network webinar for November 2020, titled COVID-19. Research. So let's begin. The purpose of our current research study is to understand the impact of COVID-19 on graduate employment in the accounting, banking, and finance sector by finding out the views of careers advisors and graduate recruiters in the UK. For the purpose of this research, a careers advisor is defined as either an employee or external consultant of a centralised university career service or an employee based within a university business school. Their remit includes providing careers advice and wider careers support in UK-based universities to current students and recent graduate alumni interested in a career in the accounting, banking and finance sector. A graduate recruiter is defined as either an employee of a graduate recruitment team within a human resources department of an organisation, an employee of a graduate recruitment agency, or an employee of other such organisations specialising in student and graduate talent. Their remit includes responsibility for or support of, for example, through research and strategic planning, the attraction and selection of current university students and recent graduates for spring week, summer internship, year in industry placement, and graduate roles for UK-based organisations operating within the accounting, banking, and finance sector. So, as you can see from the slide, we carried out semi-structured interviews by telephone between June 2020 and October 2020 with 36 participants. 19 of these were careers advisors and 17 were graduate recruiters. Our sample had a 50-50 gender split, and our participants had on average 14 years of experience with interviews lasting on average 40 and a half minutes each. Now that we have looked at the purpose and the methodology of the study, let's turn our attention to the research questions. Research question one, what impact will the COVID-19 pandemic have on the number of graduate vacancies in the immediate, short to medium, and long term? Research question two, what impact will the COVID-19 pandemic have on the nature of graduate jobs? Research question three, what impact will the COVID-19 pandemic have on the graduate recruitment process? And research question four, how can university career services and graduate recruiters work collaboratively to prepare university students and recent graduates for the graduate labour market? Starting with research question one, participants supported and quite often cited findings by the Institute of Student Employers of a drop of around 12% for graduate vacancies and 40% for internship and placement vacancies in the accounting, banking and finance sector. The sector was generally felt to have been less impacted than areas such as hospitality and tourism, mainly due to the ability for remote working, but equally did not see the gains of the healthcare and technology sectors. SMEs reduced their vacancies and withdrew offers more than larger organisations who have tended to have completed their 2019-2020 recruitment cycle just before the pandemic hit the UK in March 2020. Larger organisations often cancel spring week opportunities because there is not enough time to move these to a virtual setup. Some internship opportunities were withdrawn, but in the main, larger organisations ran a virtual and often shorter internship process, perhaps over 2 to 3 weeks, instead of the usual 8 to 10 weeks. Resources were predominantly focused on graduate schemes. However, onboarding proved a particularly tricky aspect to do, and therefore many start dates were deferred from September 2020 to between January and September of 2021. In terms of the short to medium term perspective, the majority of participants expected demand to fall for the 2020-2021 and 2021-2022 recruitment cycles, again with SMEs having more severe hits than larger organisations. There were concerns around the knock-on effects from the 2019-2020 recruitment season, perhaps with companies honouring offers and subsequently reducing 2020-2021 headcount, rather than withdrawing 2019-2020 offers. Another concern was if there are less graduate jobs, will all, or a larger percentage of these, be filled by the internship pipeline, given the reliance of this pipeline in the accounting, banking and finance sector? Perhaps graduates would delay entry into the labour market and undertake postgraduate study, resulting in even greater competition for jobs when they do graduate, as vacancies continue to reduce in the 2021-2022 cycle. The key word used time and again was uncertainty, not just in terms of possible multiple waves of COVID-19, but also in terms of Brexit and the potential for larger employers to relocate graduate jobs. In terms of the long-term picture, uncertainty featured in nearly every single response. Similar to the short to medium term uncertainty around COVID and Brexit, but also in terms of the role of automation. However, many participants cited lessons from the 2008-2009 financial crisis, where organisations cut their internship and graduate vacancies and then found themselves lacking a talent pipeline into senior management positions 5 years later. Therefore, the reductions in the short to medium term for vacancies are likely to be less in larger organisations than in SMEs, and vacancy levels are expected to begin to increase from a drop of around 20% of pre-COVID levels in 2021-2022 and return to or exceed pre-COVID levels within the 5 to 10 year timeframe. SMEs are less likely to be able to afford to absorb short-term costs for long-term returns, and it is likely that SMEs and the local variants will determine the overall national picture in terms of how deep the drop in vacancies turns out to be and how quickly overall recovery occurs. Now, it's not just the demand for graduates in terms of vacancies. We must also consider the supply of graduates in terms of volume of graduates looking for jobs. Participants reported concerns around extremely high volumes of applications, as on top of the traditional graduate cohort numbers, we would also see graduates from previous cohorts who had been unsuccessful in securing a job, who had taken a gap year, or who had delayed entry into the labour market and undertaken postgraduate study. Furthermore, with placement year opportunities badly hit in 2019-2020, many of these students converted from a degree with a placement to a degree without a placement year, leading to inflated final year numbers and subsequently a larger graduate cohort than originally expected. The general consensus was that there will still be vacancies available, but the competition for vacancies will be the toughest since the 2008-2009 financial crisis. However, graduate jobs are likely to be less impacted than non-graduate jobs, although graduates who fail to secure a graduate job may struggle in terms of finding non-graduate employment. Moving on to research question two, and potential changes to the nature of graduate jobs due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Participants were fairly evenly split between the idea of increased demand for specific graduate roles and no change to existing roles, other than a move to virtual and blended working. Where increased demand for jobs was cited, these tended to group around two key functions. Firstly, the need for technology, programming, data and business analysts, and linked to this, regulatory and compliance roles to develop policies in relation to virtual and blended working. And secondly, a greater emphasis on non-technology-based roles, such as client-focused roles and corporate social responsibility, to help with the attraction of graduates and the public perception of the company. Many organisations have taken the COVID-19 pandemic as an opportunity to undertake quite significant restructures, and participants reported that middle management level jobs seem to have been quite significantly hit. It is possible these roles will be shifted towards the specific roles identified and filled with graduate talent, given the relatively low cost of such talent. Participants also felt that there may be a shift away from rotational graduate programmes and yearly intakes, as well as virtual and shorter induction programmes. With a move towards virtual and blended working, it will be less helpful to organisations to have graduates moving into different teams every 6, 9, or 12 months. Furthermore, organisations have found the virtual and shorter induction programmes to have worked quite well, and some are considering whether the longer traditional forms of the induction, in terms of time and cost, are still required. A removal of the rotational element, combined with shorter and virtual induction programmes, would open up the opportunity for a more flexible hiring process, whereby business needs could be addressed in a more timely manner, particularly in larger organisations where early careers headcount is sometimes locked down up to 15 to 18 months in advance of the specific start date. Now, I appreciate that the slides so far have been quite text heavy, and this is partly because it is still early days in analysing and collating our research findings. So for the next couple of slides, let's take a different approach. I have generated a word cloud here based on the graduate characteristics that participants in the study reported as being most important post-COVID-19 in the banking, accounting, and finance sector. Now, the Institute for Student Employers have had resilience as one of their key characteristics for a number of years now, and this has only become more prominent since the COVID-19 pandemic. We also see here the adaptable, flexible, and technology components, so the ability for people to be able to work in a virtual environment and be more tech savvy, to have that confidence, that independent working, to be versatile, to be accountable, and to continue to be able to do things that were required before the COVID-19 pandemic, such as networking, team working, communication, numeracy, and problem solving. You will also see here there is an aspect of CPD, and a lot of companies want to know what did candidates do during the lockdown period of COVID-19 to show that they were undertaking continuing professional and personal development, even if their internship or their first choice of undertaking was no longer available. Moving on to research question 3 and the impact that the COVID-19 pandemic will have on the graduate recruitment process. We will talk in a moment about the benefits and risks to social mobility of changes to the graduate recruitment process. But first, let's take a look at this slide, which captures some of the roles of technology that participants mentioned in their interviews. I have circled in red the areas that have been most impacted due to COVID-19. Participants reported that technology will have an even bigger role to play in the attraction and selection process due to COVID-19. For many larger organisations, technology was already used quite extensively in terms of applicant tracking systems, online applications, psychometric testing, and telephone or video-based interviews. For these organisations, the main changes from COVID-19 came in the attraction process, the assessment centre process, and the onboarding and induction elements. Many organisations went through 5 years of digital transformation in just 5 months. For SMEs, the impacts of COVID-19 were even more difficult, particularly for organisations that perhaps only hire 5 or 6 graduates. Not only can they afford less mistakes in their hiring process, they were also less likely to have completed their hiring for the 2019-2020 recruitment cycle prior to the COVID-19 lockdown in March 2020. From an attraction perspective, larger organisations have concerns around how they can stand out and market themselves in a virtual environment. However, many organisations have been questioning the value and returns of careers fairs for several years now. And therefore, if successful, it's quite likely that careers fairs will shift to a predominantly virtual setup going forward. Especially with current restrictions and uncertainty around holding large events in enclosed spaces, and the use of iPads to collect data and distribution of literature and freebies. However, this also means graduate recruiters do not have to travel the length and breadth of the UK, and in some cases much further afield, offering benefits in terms of time and cost savings and improve productivity. Organisations can also promote the positive impact on the environment of reduced travel and reduced printed literature and freebies as part of their corporate social responsibility agenda. Ultimately, graduate recruiters and careers advisors did expect on-campus attraction to return, but perhaps not until 2021 or the 2021-2022 academic year. It is also possible organisations will be more selective and run more targeted events, perhaps with an individual student society, or run virtual days targeted at a specific university. There has been a huge increase in the number of companies offering virtual events platforms and virtual careers fair platforms, but often these are quite expensive, and barely any organisations use their own in-house software at the present time. Organisations may therefore divert the money saved from reduced in-person attraction and instead invest this in virtual attraction elements. We talked earlier about the rise in volume of applicants, and therefore there will be a greater reliance on algorithms, automation, and social media mapping. And we will discuss this a bit more on the next couple of slides in relation to social mobility opportunities and risks. From an assessment process, the Virtual Assessment Centre has been the key change for large organisations. And this has also led to an uptick in the use of gamification and virtual reality elements of assessment. For smaller organisations that cannot afford virtual assessment centre technologies, they have tended to make do with a selection of different video conferencing applications, for example, Zoom and Teams. Concerns still exist around hiring candidates without meeting them face to face. However, time and cost savings of digital assessment centres mean that many organisations are considering running digital assessment centres but at their offices, once restrictions allow, to offer the benefits of both in-person and digital approaches. The other challenging area for organisations is onboarding. This was the main reason for internship and graduate jobs being rescinded or deferred in 2020, and more work is still required in this area. As previously mentioned, the shorter and virtual induction programmes were generally considered to be successful and are likely to become the norm. Today, there is no all-encompassing end-to-end system that organisations feel they can use for their attraction, selection, onboarding, and induction processes. This is likely to be a key area of focus in the coming months and years. Let's have a look now at some of the opportunities that the COVID-19 pandemic offers for social mobility. So in terms of attraction, graduate recruiters felt that they could go to a wider range of universities in this virtual space than they could physically travelling around the UK or indeed further afield in some cases. So there was an expectation of more tailored targeting of advertising to different groups of students across different universities, and then to run events specifically for them. University Career Services are really keen for organisations to ensure that internship opportunities are paid so that those who would otherwise not be able to afford to undertake them can do so, perhaps in part funded from the cost savings from reduced physical travel and running of physical events. In terms of the applications and assessment process, it's great in that there is not a need for candidates to travel multiple times to London, for example, for various stages of the assessment process, which can be a barrier in terms of cost, time for travel, and the loss of time doing part-time work or degree studies. There is also an opportunity to look at name blinding of CVs and applications, a relaxing of A-level criteria and degree classification requirements, and for promoting diversity on hiring panels. This is something that's been beginning to happen in the last few years, but certainly if you look at the use of algorithms and the U-turns in terms of A-level results this year, companies are really beginning to look at their own algorithms, especially in the selection process, to make sure that they are not inadvertently discriminating. And part of that process involves looking at why and where the individuals are dropping out of the selection process. And if there's a particular area of the process where an organisation is losing a significant amount of diversity, then do they need to make a change to the process? Does that part of the process actually need to be there? And of course, the benefits to the organisation, you've got profitability, innovation, a better reflection of your client base, being able to interact with them and develop deeper personal connections. And of equal importance, the opportunity to have role models to progress up through the organisation and to also facilitate in terms of future attraction. Unfortunately, there are also some risks to social mobility of the COVID-19 pandemic, and I will just briefly outline a few of those here. The obvious one being digital poverty in terms of education and access to virtual opportunities, and a worry that there might be a widening of inequality after COVID-19. We've already had a decade of austerity, and if we see more cuts to support services, that may disproportionately disadvantage social mobility. We are also seeing a reduction in temporary work opportunities, which might increase financial pressures on students who might have used that income to cover their living costs and expenses during their university degree. In terms of living conditions, if you live at home or live with three or four other people in a shared flat or house, then trying to do the assessment process, or indeed working from home, can become quite challenging, especially if the other people that you live with do not have an understanding of what is entailed in these aspects. And if you are competing for a single desk space or trying to make phone calls from the same small room. Again, there is a risk that organisations might actually focus on fewer universities. If they do go to universities this recruitment cycle, they are likely to go to fewer and they are likely to be much smaller events. So there could be a risk of less opportunity and less access for supporting social mobility. And also around previous experience and knowledge. Organisations are going to be looking for this when hiring graduates. But the issue is that the candidates who are most likely to have this experience will have already had the opportunities to acquire the social and cultural capital to undertake work experience. And so it might again disproportionately impact social mobility. And as we mentioned before, there is likely to be a heavier reliance on algorithms to reject applicants due to a high volume of applicants. And again, there are some serious concerns around the use of algorithms to do this. And organisations need to be really careful and review at the end of each recruitment cycle to make sure that these algorithms are not inadvertently preventing or reducing social mobility. Finally, we look at research question four. How can university career services and graduate recruiters work collaboratively to prepare university students and recent graduates for the graduate labour market? Collaboration requires partnerships between employers, career services, academics, alumni, and training bodies, all working together to support students and recent graduates, particularly at a time where they will need to be prepared for a virtual environment, including elements of gamification and virtual reality, but also where students and recent graduates might need to be looking at alternative roles if their plan A option is no longer available. And so we are looking at this tailored and personalised careers advice, and also this idea of embedding employability into the curriculum through guest lectures and compulsory events. We also need to have some open and honest dialogue. So, for example, where are students and applicants struggling? And sharing these findings between graduate recruiters and careers advisors. And graduate recruiters need to be open and honest with career services and students in terms of the number of vacancies and how the application process is going to work in a virtual format and the timeframes involved. There are also opportunities to collaborate either with other organisations or universities might be encouraged to get together with other universities in the region and run an event for students and recent graduates in a collaborative manner. There is also going to be the need to provide experience to students, ideally through internships, but perhaps through mentorship or through role models. And there is also the opportunity for quicker response times. Graduate recruiters reported that they often wait quite a while to hear back from university career services. And from a university career service perspective, their students and recent graduates often wait a very long time to hear back in terms of the next stage of their application, or whether they have been successful or rejected, if indeed they hear back at all. Now, of course, there are challenges around a collaborative approach, the key one being resources in terms of people and money. So both career services and graduate recruitment teams tend to operate with quite a small headcount for the amount of work that is involved. And of course, there are always constraints around budgets. Another dimension is that in graduate recruitment, there is also a high turnover of staff as they move between different organisations, sometimes each recruitment cycle. And so building up those relationships with organisations again takes time and knowing who to contact. Other challenges involve uncertainty. We don't know how this is going to play out yet in terms of business demand, number of vacancies. It might be difficult at this point to be open and honest. And perhaps the open and honest answer is we don't know. We as an organisation will recruit in the hope we can offer you a job, but we don't know. Or to delay the recruitment process until the landscape becomes clearer. That is, of course, another option. In terms of embedding employability into the curriculum, there are issues with timetable constraints. And of course, the content of degrees have to be approved by external bodies and making sure that there's balance there. And the final challenge is knowledge sharing and keeping up to date. It's such a fast moving piece. And traditionally, career services have tended to lag about 1 to 2 years behind graduate recruiters as they react to the changes that organisations make. But the COVID-19 pandemic has seen this switch around to some extent, whereby graduate recruiters and organisations have been going to career services and saying, what are you doing? Lead us, show us. What technologies are you using? What event platforms are you going to implement? How do we use them? Especially around the attraction piece. That concludes the webinar. Thank you very much indeed for your time. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, then I would love to hear from you via the Graduate Recruiters Network group. I will endeavour to respond to posts within 24 hours. Wishing you all the best. Bye for now.
Lovely. It's very rare we get the opportunity for someone who's actually been heavily involved in the research to share their early findings with such a rapidly changing situation. So we're extremely delighted to have had Dr. Donald along today to explain a little bit about his research that they're doing. And perhaps we'll invite him back in the next few months for an update as things are changing so rapidly. But there's many things within that research that hopefully will give you some clearer focus as to how to move forward, how things are changing and how we need to adapt and remain graduate recruiters throughout this period. So great thanks to Dr. Donald there. Now he will be available on the LinkedIn forum and he'll answer your questions within the next 24 hours. So if you don't have any specific questions, by all means, visit our LinkedIn forum. If you're not already on there, this is what it looks like. All our members are on there and actively discussing various things. So I'll put a post on there in the next couple of hours. And as I said, within the next 24 hours, Dr. Donald will be there to answer any questions or clarify anything from their brilliant research. Okay, the next event is Tuesday, the 8th of December. We're delighted to have Jackie Grisdale from SMRS. They work with all sorts of recruiters up and down the UK, working on projects for them. And I've asked her to present on some of their findings with projects where they've been asked to reach BAME graduates. So this will be a webinar on Tuesday, the 8th of December, 12:30 to 1:30. Please book a place on there on Eventbrite as always. Finally, thank you everyone for your time today. I hope you found it useful. The recording will go on YouTube shortly. All that remains for me to finish off with is the announcement of graduatementor.uk. This is a project we launched back in August to help graduates from very diverse backgrounds who are struggling, particularly right now, to enter graduate jobs. So do visit graduatementor.uk. We've got 100 mentors on there at the moment, and they're running video conference sessions with graduates all the time. So delighted that we've got so many inspiring business leaders, recruiters, university career staff involved on the platform. So do check it out if you'd like to be part of our campaign, hashtag help the COVID generation. Okay, thank you very much and see you next time.